Thanks for checking out the Greater Church podcast today. We're praying that wherever you find yourself on the journey, that this message would be encouraging to you. And now, here's today's message.
Let's go ahead and read. It says in Acts 4. It should be up on the screens. Yes. All right. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of the land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had needed. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And if anyone's taking notes, the title of this message is Reckless Generosity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from you, Father. I ask that you give me the words that you want to speak unto the people today. We thank you for everything that you are to us. And we thank you that you are generous to us with your love. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So like I was saying, it's Mother's Day. And by nature, mothers are very nurturing. Mothers, they're actually probably the most generous people you're ever going to come in contact with. You can probably have conversations with any of the mothers here in this place and ask them, has there ever been a moment where you needed something or wanted something and you had to give that up for your child or for your husband? It's like, I mean, food, shoes, clothes. You know, the kids always come first and mothers by nature are very nurturing and very generous in that. I mean, you can even ask, you can ask Kayla. She's pregnant now. She's being real generous with her body right now. Right, Kayla? And Brianna, I'm sure you talk to her. She's like, she's exhausted back there. She's been giving up her sleep for that newborn who's crying, feeding him 3-4 times a night. You know, but that's what moms do. We're, by nature, we're very nurturing. And by nature, we want to be generous because we love and because it's important to us and because it's who we are, that we're generous not just for ourselves, but we're generous for our kids because we love them that much, because they mean that much to us. And this is kind of where we pick up the story in Acts chapter 4, where it's we're talking about the early church, where they're coming together and the church is just starting. And it's like a baby. The gospel of Jesus Christ is like a baby that needs to be nurtured and it needs to be taken care of. And as they do that, the church begins to grow and more people come unto the church. And you come to realize, you're gonna see as through the story, that it wasn't just giving of the gospel. It became their lives. It became everything that they were and everything that belonged to them. It says right there in the beginning, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. Imagine, they were all on the same page. They were all called to be witnesses and make disciples. When Jesus left, that was their commission. That was what he told them to do. Come together with one heart and one soul and make disciples, teaching them about who Jesus was. And then somewhere down the line, it's funny because as we're building the church and building God's house, somewhere down the line, it became more of ministry. It became more of work. And it turned around and it was no longer our lives. It turned around to be the point where, you know what, instead of we get to do church and we get to tell people about Jesus because he had done so much to us, that, oh, I have to tell people about Jesus now. You know, it's something that I want to encourage you guys to think about, to have one heart and soul. That's what's going to make a difference in our city. Having one heart and one soul is what's going to make a difference in our lives. It's going to give us purpose in our lives. We're going to come together with one heart and one soul so that we might be able to push back darkness. We might be able to overcome the things that we are struggling with in this world. And we can find purpose and heart and love and be together as a crowd. And we can build God's house. It says, neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And it's funny that several times today we've talked about generosity. And generosity is a mindset. We've even had that great video with Josh and his mom Sheila. And it was just an amazing how they spoke about what was generosity to them. And here at Greater Church, we have, like they said, we have a core value about generosity is our privilege. And sometimes you're like, well, I don't really understand exactly what that means. Well, a privilege is something that's a rare opportunity to do something that's going to bring some sort of joy, bring a pleasure to you. And that's what a privilege is. And there are times that we have opportunity to be generous, and it's a mindset. We need to start changing our mind from no longer being greedy, but to being generous. And when we're greedy, that also can be the mindset, but we need to get that out of our mind, because that mindset is about what I have. That mindset is about who I am as a person and what I have and what I've earned and what rights I have. And God is calling us to get past that. And the reason why he's calling us to get past that and be generous is because when you find generosity in your heart, that's when you're going to have purpose in your life. You're going to be able to flip what you've been given and the love that you've been given and the hope that you've been given, and you're going to help someone else find that. And when you help someone else find that, that's probably going to be the most enjoyable experience that you have ever gone through. So it's a principle and it's an idea that we're going to have to start thinking, that we have to flip our minds about generosity, and that we're not just doing it just to do it to get something for ourselves, that we're actually doing something to help someone else. And in that, there's joy and there's purpose. So the generous mindset, we go on and we say, you know what? We're blessed because God has blessed us, and we're going to give a blessing out of that. And we're gonna find what we can do, and we're gonna make it our privilege to do it. And we're gonna take the right mindset, and we're gonna go forward in that. And please understand, I'm not up here right now. Yeah, earlier we talked about generosity and giving and with our finances, and I'm not specifically just sitting up here and talking about that. Don't get it twisted in your mind thinking, oh, now they're just asking for money. That's not the point. The point is we need to be generous heart and soul with everything that we are, with our time, with our treasures, with our talents, with the skills and the abilities that God has given us. We have to take what God has given to us in the Word through the book of Acts when he originally established his church. This is how we want to understand how we should be acting in this time. This is where our understanding should come from, that we need to go forward. And it's not just about money, but it's about everything that we are. And I can guarantee you there's times in the early church, because we're going to be talking about how they gave of all their finances and their land, and that was their money and their resources. But I want you to encourage you to think past the money and the finances in this moment and start thinking about your time and your talents, because that's also what's going to help grow this church. It says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You know what? Chino preached, I believe, last week about reckless prayer, but he also said that, you know what, we're not just building a church. We're not building this church so that we can have hundreds and hundreds of people attend this church and we can have a great name and a big name. We are building God's house. And through building God's house, we are building people and empowering people in this place. It says 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are co-workers in God's service. We all play a part. in building God's house. It's so important to understand that we are a team. And as a team, we have to work together in everything that we're doing. And that's including being generous with our time and with our talents. Up on the screen in a moment, they're going to put up a screen. I want to explain to you, when I went online, I started thinking about this. It's called the law of the minimum. Okay, the law of the minimum states, if there is one essential nutrient that is deficient, growth will be poor even when all essential nutrients are abundant. All right, so up here on the screen, you can see there's like a barrel, okay? And that barrel is used to be filled with water or any other kind of nutrient. Now, the nutrient can be poured into it, but unless the panels all reach the same level, the water will begin to pour out, because unless those panels that are shorter there reach to the height of all the other panels, there's no way that the water can be filled to the capacity. So think about this as a church, as we're growing God's house. If there's a panel for preaching, it's up there. We're preaching every Sunday. There's a panel for worship, it's up there. There's a panel for serving. But if we're not generous with our time, if we're not generous with the help that we want to put into building God's church, there's these panels that aren't going to make it to the top up there. And what's going to happen is that we're going to hinder the effectiveness of everyone else pouring out their generosity, because it's just going to be leaking out the side. And there can't be growth. We'll no longer reach the point where we will need to grow, because we'll become stagnant and the water will just keep leaking out. And we can stay right here in this place. But let me tell you something. We want to grow a greater church. We want to be out of here. We want to go into a bigger building. We want to see souls reached. We want to see people who are lost come to know who Christ Jesus is. And in and through that, how do we do it? By being generous. By being generous with our time, by being generous with our talents, with our treasures, and coming together heart and soul and understanding that this is what God has called us to do. And it says, and great grace was upon them all, nor was anyone among them who lacked. So I can tell you that I can sit up here and I know that through your mind and through your heart, there's times you're like, well, I just don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know what I kind of believe what you're saying, Pastor Lydia, but like, it's not that easy. It's not as easy as you're making it out to seem. And I get that. But God says there was a great grace upon them, and there was no one or anyone among them who lacked. Because grace fills the space that we create. All right? Even when the space wasn't created by us. There's no way, if I am filled to capacity with all the energy that I ever have in my life, if I don't spend some of the energy that I have, I will never get energy back. So I can sit there with all the energy and just hold it inside of me and just be anxious and nervous and hold it all inside, but that's not going to do any good for myself, and it won't do any good for anyone else. So I have to create space. I need to spend the energy. I need to go and do what God has asked me to do so that he can then fill me back up so that I might be able to do it again. And that's what I'm trying to get across and for you to understand, that we have to create space, not only with our time, with our talents, but with our treasures as well. And it says in 2 Corinthians 9, and God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share to others. That's 2 Corinthians 9:8. There is a grace attached to being generous for God's work. And me and Chino and our family, we're a living testimony of this. Back in 2008, Ramses was born in September of 2008. And right about, I say, probably January of 2009, he was about 3 or 4 months old, both Chino and I lost our jobs, and we became jobless. And in that moment, it was a rough time. And not only that, is that I just found out that I was then again pregnant with Levi. So that was a month and a half later. So I was a couple months pregnant, and I had a three-month-old baby. And that was, to say the least, was a very trying and hard time. But to then become jobless and not have any type of income, that was an even rougher time for us. But what we decided in that moment and what we said is, okay, let's just recognize that sometimes God puts you in positions and times so that he can move you into position of where he wants you to be. Because if he doesn't do those things to you, there's going to be a time or a moment where you're just going to get stuck in that. And he sometimes has to bring you out of certain situations and put you in a place of need or of lack so that he can put you in position you in a place where he can bless you. And that's what he did. There was moments I know that we had like $6 in our bank account. We didn't have anything to feed the kids or do anything like that. If you would think about where the money would come from, we could not find anything. There was no expectation of any type of income. And in that moment, we decided, you know what? He was on the road at some times preaching and also doing his music. So if he had income come in at that moment, we were like, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to give. But not only are we going to give our tithe, like we always believed was super important, but we decided that we were going to give an additional 10%. It wasn't much. Tell me, I mean, you're giving $20 extra. That's not even that big of a deal. But when you don't have a job and you don't have money, that $20 was a big deal for us because that could have gone for extra food and that could have gone towards the mortgage. But let me tell you, we did it, and we purposed in our heart. And not only did we purpose in our heart that we would give the 20%, we decided in those moments that we needed to decide what we wanted to do with our lives. And what we were going to do with our lives is we were going to give our lives fully for the purpose of building God's house. We did not know what that meant. We did not know this is where we would be, you know, 10 years later. But we did know that, you know what, God was calling us and this is what we were going to do. We went back to school full time to show ourselves approved. We went to a church and we said, we're going to serve. I mean, we served hours upon hours at this church. We gave, yeah, like, I don't even know why we had a house because, you know, we basically slept there for about 6 hours and then went back to church. But that's besides the point. We did. We decided we were going to purpose not only our time, our talent, but our treasures. And we gave and we did what we did. And in that moment, I can tell you that God graced us so, blessed us so much that we never went without. Our power, our light, our electricity, our water, all the utilities never went out. Our mortgage was paid for 2.5 years by our parents. Like, everything that we needed in that moment, our kids, you know, they were taken care of at the school, at the daycare, and they did it for free for us. It was an amazing time where God just graced us and gave us what we need. Ask Sochi. She was at our house all the time eating dinner, and we always had enough for them. And more than enough, because God promises, right here, it says it, God will generously provide all you need, and then you will have always everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Because that's what he does. So if he did it for us, he's going to do it for you. So understand, it might be hard, it might feel sacrificial to be generous with your time and your money and your talents, but let me tell you, you will have enough grace, and he will give enough for you, and you will have enough to share with others. It says, for all who were possessors of the land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each and anyone who had a need. Now, this is what I call reckless generosity. You know, they had houses, and they sold them, and they gave it all to the church. That is reckless. You know, as believers, like we talked about in Chino explained at the beginning of the year, I believe, in his 10-1 message. It's on the podcast if you got to, you know, want to go back and read that. 10% is what we're God is asking. 10% is what we're telling God, you know what, I trust you. I'm going to give you back 10%. I know you don't need it. I know you've given me everything that I've gotten, but 10%, and I'm going to do that. And that is our tithe. And we give our tithes and offering. We give them as a funnel, not as a fixture. We have to get it in our minds that we are funneling this money in and through God's house for the benefit of someone else. We have to get our mindset on the generous mindset that we're no longer doing things for ourselves. Our heart and soul needs to understand that there are so many people who need from us to know who Christ is. It's so important that we understand that we give that 10%, and it's not going to just sit there or get stuck. I can tell you that there's a lot of people here who are super generous and they've given, and I need them to understand that that money, when you give to financially to Greater Church, it's going to be a funnel, and we're going to funnel it just like we funneled it and gave gifts to Asia, and we're giving gifts to Miss Kimberly, and we're honoring them because of what they've done. And not only that, is primarily, you might say, well, this money, well, it's just for the building or for this or that. Well, guess what? You're funneling into a meeting space. And this meeting space is where Anibal can walk through and he can see a miracle that he's been waiting for be cultivated. This is a place where we can come together and we can pray for each other, where we can see how baby Tate, who at the beginning, before he was even born, wasn't even supposed to be born and live past 3 days, and he can live now a month because of the prayers that we prayed here in this meeting space. Not only that, for the kids who are in the back and they're learning about who Jesus Christ is, where that they can then become God's builders of his kingdom and of his house. This is where we're supposed to be, heart and soul. This is so important to understand. We need to be united, heart and soul, and generous for God's kingdom. And it goes on to say, in Joseph, who was Barnabas, by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the reason why I go back to this and how reckless it was is because Barnabas, he was, they made it clear and made it important to put that he was a Levite. And the reason why is because Levites back in this time never really had land. They weren't really given anything at this time because their job as a Levite were to be in the church, in the temple, and they're supposed to be taking care of the people spiritually. Okay, and they would take care of the temple. So they didn't get anything outside of that. The church is supposed to take care of them. The temple was going to take care of them. So for whatever reason, this guy Barnabas, he was a Levite. He wasn't supposed to have, but he did have. He had some sort of land. We don't know how he got it. I don't know how he got it, but he sold it. He sold it with reckless generosity so that he know, because he knew heart and soul, this was what was important for him, not only for him, but for others who needed to know who Jesus Christ was. This is how much he believed in Jesus Christ and what God wanted to do through his church. And it's funny because this story, just like the other story, is so, so familiar to us because, and familiar to me, because we did the same thing. A little bit after or in between all that time where we were laid off and we didn't have jobs and stuff, God had provided an opportunity right before then for us to purchase a home. And it was a home that was in foreclosure. So we got it for a really great price. And it was worth more than $100,000 than what we actually purchased it for. And it needed a lot of work. But we took it and we felt like this is what God wanted us to do. And we did it and we thought it was a blessing. And we held on to that house. And it was something that we didn't understand what God was going to do with that, but he always has, like I said, a purpose and a destination for you. And sometimes you don't understand why you go through things or why you get certain things or what's going on, but he always has a great purpose through things. So in that same period of time, we got this house, and like I said, it was probably worth $320,000, and we got it for maybe $130,000, $35,000. So we were thinking, wow, this is a great deal. We'll put some money into it. We'll make it nicer. We revamped it. We renovated it. It was great. We'll live in it or we'll make some money off of it. And in that moment, that when we lost our job, a lot of the reasons why I lost my job is because I was in the loan business, the mortgage loan business. And if you guys can remember, in 2008 and 2009, that's when the bubble burst. So we lost a lot in that. We lost our jobs, but not only did we lose our jobs, anything in that house, we ended up becoming underneath, basically. So now that house wasn't even worth $120,000 because of how that whole situation happened. And in my mind, I was like, well, at least we have a house to live in. And we're just going to keep moving in that. And whatever happens, happens. And God is going to provide, just as he graced us through that situation. And we didn't expect or know anything. But when God called us to Georgia's, we were like, well, we're gonna need to sell this house. We don't want any kind of debt or anything hanging over us that's going to hinder us from building God's house here in Georgia and coming planting this church. And we decided to sell it. And in my mind and in the things that I knew about real estate 10 years later or 8 years later, I didn't think we were going to make anything on the house. I just wanted to basically get rid of the house, break even, and move forward with that. But let me tell you, God had a different plan. And he had an amazing plan because as we began to explore in selling this house, it ended up being that we were able to sell this house and make proceeds of about $45,000. And in that, it's a blessing, and it's great. And in my mind, I was like, all right, yeah, I'm going to go buy me another house. I'm going to get me a car. I'm going to do all these things. I was like, I was on it. And God told me, just chill. I'm like, okay, God, I'll wait. And then as we started to begin praying and thinking about coming to Georgia, we knew this is what we were going to do. And we started investigating and trying to get income and jobs, and doors just kept shutting and closing. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, God, what do you want? And I just felt like God was saying, you know what? Trust me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to trust God with everything that I am. And I'm going to be generous. And, you know, I understand that I didn't even expect to get that money. So if God, you purposed to give me that money so that I can be generous and I can live off that money, or we can give that money to the church, then that's what we're going to do. And we're gonna move forward in that. And can I tell you, in that was the most freeing thing that I could ever experience. Because I believe that in giving that money and living off that money, I mean, we tried to get jobs. I applied for over hundreds of jobs here, and I couldn't get a job. And it just happened to be that the exact amount of money that he gave us was the exact amount of money that it took for us to move up here, be here for a year, live off of that money until the moment and the day we started Greater Church. He provided exactly what we needed. It was something that he will always do for us. It's something that if we're generous and we give, listen, none of it has to do with us. It's not us. It's not ours. Everything we have, everything that we are, it all is from God. Even breath in our life, in our lungs, everything belongs to God. He's our creator. He has put it in us. We need to be generous with what he's given us and give back. I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about heart and soul. I'm talking about who God is for us. And what he's asking is not hard, and it's not sacrificial. It's a privilege. It's that rare opportunity that will bring pleasure and joy into your life and purpose in your life. It's called reckless for a reason. Reckless means without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. Reckless generosity teaches us to trust God, causes our faith to increase. It works together with people's generosity to effectively build God's house. Reckless generosity is what God is calling us to do. We can be generous with other people. If we can be generous with our kids, moms, dads, if we can be generous with anything else, why can't we be generous with everything we are for building God's house? So in this moment, I can understand that there might be a few people in this place that don't really understand where I'm coming from. And a lot of it probably has to do before you can be generous with anything that you have, you have to come to an understanding that you need to be generous with your heart and give your heart to know Christ Jesus. So I'm going to ask that in this moment, everyone can just bow your heads and close your eyes.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. The mission of Greater Church is to reach the lost and empower the found. We pray this message met you wherever you find yourself on the journey. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, please help us to continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at greater.church. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on social media at @mygreaterchurch.